Blog Talk Radio.
Today on the Week in Review, we break down to you the Masters, the latest on Kobe Bryant, the NCAA Championship game, college players entering the NBA draft, Jose Reyes out for 3 months, Eddie Jordan replacing Mike Rice, Matt Harvey's dominant start to the season, and Rolando McClain for the Baltimore Ravens. Don't go anywhere because Sports Kingdom starts right now. How's it going today?
Good, Julian. I hope you just wanted to say real quick, I hope you had a nice birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you very much. By the way, just to let our listeners know, but I did go see the movie 42 last night. I must say, didn't really exceed expectations, although it was okay, to say the least. I would also say another thing about it, but Sports Illustrated, as they put it, it fell flat in storytelling, the movie 42. It could have been more better than most expected. So, hey, like I said, though, it was okay. It was okay of a movie. So as we begin today, the Masters is still going on between Angel Cabrera and Adam Scott. So hang tight as we are going to get ready and talk about the Masters in just a little bit. But before we get started, the number to the show is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. The chat room is open, so chat up while it's open. The email to the show is skbtradio@gmail.com if you want to ask any questions or just send out your thoughts to us. Go ahead and email the show by contacting skbtradio@gmail.com. On one other note, I want to mention this out to our listeners, but spring is finally here. spring is finally here. The weather is starting to warm up, as you all may know already by now. So around this time of year, I suggest the best way to listen in on Sports Kingdom is by downloading the free Stitcher app, which you can find in your Google Play Store. And it's sure an easy thing, an easy app where you can access the show. You can also access the show on iTunes by subscribing to us on iTunes. Like I said, the spring weather is finally here, so while you're out on the go, download the Stitcher app or get our episodes off iTunes. Okay, as we start off Sports Kingdom, we are actually going to start with some commentary here on the Masters Live. Right now, Angel Cabrera is trying to fight his way here as he's trying to capture his second jacket ever in the Masters. The last time he won was back in 2009. He is once again trying to win another jacket. Adam Scott, he is, Angel Cabrera. Oh, Angel Cabrera almost had that putt. He almost had the putt on the last hole, and what did you think of that, Sean?
Adam Scott now, as you just seen, Cabrera, that putt came oh so close there, but Adam Scott now, he has a putt to win the Masters right around the hole. That goes, look at it. Wow.
And if you look at the replay, Angel Cabrera just tosses his putter up in the air. I mean, God, he just missed two straight putts on his last two holes. But now Adam Scott, the Australian, many people in Australia right now are holding their breaths here for Adam Scott. He has a chance to finally win his first ever green jacket. First ever green jacket for an Australian to win. So this is...
And get this, Julian, a fact, if you look, Adam Scott has Tiger Woods' ex-caddy, Steve Williams, on his bag. So little fact, fun fact there. How about that?
Yeah, so now Adam Scott attempting this putt. Here we go.
Adam Scott to win the Masters.
He wins it. Adam Scott wins the Masters. Wow. Adam Scott, the winner of the 2013 Masters. Wow. Sean, what are your thoughts?
Congratulations to Adam Scott, seconds ago, making the putt. What a putt to win the Masters. Wow. What more can
wow.
I say? I picked Tiger Woods to actually win it, but Scott, hey, deserving. Unbelievable.
Right now, Adam Scott very happy as he cheers in joy. And look at the crowd. They are just more than excited. Wow, this is, like I said just before, the first ever green jacket Adam Scott will win. First Australian, wow. Adam Scott, looking back from last year, he had a chance to win the Open Championship, but failed on that opportunity due to missing a long putt. As Ernie Els instead went on to win the Open Championship, But now, as you look at it, Adam Scott, he is now. Wow. Angel Cabrera. Wow. Well, he won it already. You see, he won it, and I'm just happy for Adam Scott. It's just a good win because he failed at the Open Championship. Had so many opportunities. 32-year-old, and finally got to seize on this opportunity and win the Masters. Wow. Angel Cabrera right now on television. Not too saddened, to say the least. I mean, he won the Masters back in 2009. No reason to be so saddened. But now, Sean, we got to get on with the show. So, Adam Scott is now your winner. Let's talk about some of the other golfers. Tiger Woods, that two-stroke penalty really costed him in this Masters, and he just didn't quite have it today. He failed on a couple bogeys and finished with 5 under par. I mean, going to you, Sean, what'd you think of Tiger Woods' performance throughout this weekend?
He tried his best to overcome the two-stroke penalty, but he had a lot of pars, I noticed. He just couldn't get his real birdie streak going, that real key birdie streak that he would have needed to get back in the tournament. So, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, like you said, I think that two-stroke penalty earlier this weekend, yesterday, that two-stroke penalty really put Woods behind the eight ball and cost him a chance at the in the 2013 Masters. But I gotta say this. Despite that, I think Tiger will win a major this year. He will win one of the three other major tournaments and get going and get closer to Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors this year.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's won many majors in the past, and like you said, Sean, he has many more opportunities to go. But let's look at some other golfers. Jason Day, another Australian who is at the top throughout most of this weekend, to many, many people thought through the very end that Jason Day almost had it, but he finished with 7 under par. 7 under par, and and boy, he did pretty well for only 26 years old. Do you have to agree, Sean?
Yeah, he did do pretty well. For a while, I thought he was going to win it. I mean, he was in it to the very end, but he made a couple of bogeys late down the stretch that really cost him. So, I think he'll be in. He'll be just like Tiger Woods. He'll be in a lot of majors as the year PGA Tour season wears on. So I give him credit for what he did in the Masters. He almost was able to capture it, but capture Australia's first ever Masters, but that went to Scott.
Yeah, Jason Day, Adam Scott, two Australians up there, like I said. They were also tied together in second place of the 2011 Masters. Those two almost had it then, and it appeared that Jason Day almost had it, but Adam Scott turned out to be the true winner. Some notable falls were Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy. Just tell me real quick, Sean, but what'd you think of Phil Mickelson's and Rory McIlroy's poor performances?
Very disappointing. I mean, you know, but especially for McIlroy. I mean, after coming close a year or two ago to winning it, I mean, he just ever since then, ever since he had that close call where he almost won the Masters a couple years ago, he just hasn't played well from that point on at Augusta. So, I mean, but he's young, so he'll get his, he'll win a green jacket, maybe even more than one before his career is all said and done. So. But Phil Mickelson, I mean, wow, he's even more disappointing than Rory McIlroy. Ever since he won the Masters a few years back, I don't know what his deal is, but he's played worse than McIlroy at the Masters ever since he won. So, I mean. Lefty, he gives it his all, but yeah, I'm disappointed, you know, for Lefty, because if Tiger Woods wasn't going to win it, even though I'm happy for Adam Scott, I would have liked to have seen, you know, Lefty up there.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with you, Sean. Brant Snedeker and I believe it was, Bernhard Langer. Sean, tell me about those two individuals as well. Those two came off a phenomenal weekend up till this Sunday, just as of today. Those two scored pretty awful today, as they almost had me talk about how much this could have meant for Langer and Snedeker. Snedeker, of course, has been very emotional throughout all the times he's participated in the Masters. And if you look at Langer, the last time he won the Masters was in 1993, like 20 years ago. So just tell me how much this disappointing day means to those two individuals.
Well, Snedeker, he ended up finishing five off the pace at four under. I mean, he was in it. He was in contention for a little while, but as for the other guy, I mean, he didn't finish in the top 12 in ties. So, but. Longer, but hey, I mean, they both, Snedeker played better. I mean, I'm sure he would have liked to have made some more putts, maybe got finished close, but hey, it's the way it goes. I mean, but I liked what Snedeker was able to do. He's a very fine young golfer, and he could, be in contention for some tournaments as the season wears on.
Speaking of a young golfer, Sean, talk to me about 14-year-old Tian Lang Chun in this year's Masters.
Oh, Tian Lang Guan? Oh, wow. I mean, what a story. Makes the cut at
14.
At the Masters, he makes the cut, is in contention. He wasn't really in contention, but, you know, he did have that one-stroke penalty, controversial one-stroke penalty for slow play, which I think was a bit ridiculous, I will say. But still, as you, he's actually speaking right now, so I got to say, I think if he's in, I think he could win a Masters before, you know, his golfing career is all said and done. He really played well for being 14 years old. He didn't let the pressure and the enormity of the moment and the aura of Augusta National Golf Club get to him. I mean, what poise for a 14-year-old eighth grader. Wow.
Yeah, and speaking of Augusta, Georgia, how about that weather? Very rainy today, as you saw it. And
yeah, I got to give the players, especially the last two in that playoff, Scott and Cabrera, I got to give them credit for playing so well in those conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of credit goes out to them. Last year was it was very nice, but it turned out to be very rainy this year. But once again, Adam Scott is the winner of the 2013 Masters, and congratulations to him and Steve Williams. Congrats. Now we move on to the latest on Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant will be out for 6 to 9 months. This came as a huge disappointment to the LA Lakers organization, and including Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson sent his thoughts on Twitter by tweeting, "Kobe wasn't going to let the Lakers miss the playoffs. We watched him go through three anguishing plays, the last one devastating if he had gone to the bench after the second mishap. Like Rose or the Bulls, one can guess, but what's done is done. Reality, not maybe, is then." I feel, taking out of Phil Jackson's comment, I would feel the same way about how D'Antoni used Kobe Bryant. If you look at the facts, Kobe Bryant led the year in minutes, second player to lead the NBA in minutes, and Kobe was just playing extremely a lot of minutes this year, as Kobe is close to facing the end of his career soon. So let me go to you, Sean, since we didn't get to hear your perspective on this matter. And, of course, you're an LA Lakers fan, but how did you feel of Kobe Bryant? I mean, the devastating news of Kobe Bryant, not going to play any longer this year with LA Lakers.
I mean, sadness, like, as soon as I seen late Friday night, seen the end of that Lakers game and seen Kobe go down, I knew he had done something serious. I mean, as soon as he asked Harrison Barnes, the young rookie for the Warriors, if he had kicked him in the thigh, and once Barnes said no, you knew that Kobe had popped his Achilles out. And the mind-boggling stat for me is, in the month of April, he was leading the league in minutes played at 45.2. Leading the league, which, you know, is mind-boggling for a 34-year-old, 17th-year veteran in Bryant. Way too many minutes. Should have been pulled after the first time he went down when he hyperextended his knee earlier in that game Friday night against the Warriors. Should have been taken out of the game. I have to put a lot of blame on the injury to Bryant
on Coach D'Antoni. And I just hope that Kobe Bryant, I'd like to see him get back next year and next season and play, but for one, even though a lot of people are saying that he could be back, the plan is to have him back in time for the start of the season from what I'm hearing, but I think that's a stretch. I think if he's lucky, he'll be back just after the All-Star break, but I really, because of his age, wouldn't be surprised if he ended up possibly missing the whole season. And he's in the last year of his contract, don't forget, so that, you know, they're bringing up, I don't know how you feel about this, but the possibility of amnestying, using the amnesty.
I was getting ready to ask you about that, but what did you think of Bill Simmons' comments on the way the Lakers should use the amnesty clause on Kobe Bryant? It'd be a smart idea.
If you were asking me, I would do it. I mean, because there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that Bryant's going to be back at all next year. I mean, like Gary Vee said, the goal is to have him back next year, possibly for the season opener, as I was just mentioning. But I'm one that seems to believe that because of his age, even though he's shown he can be a quick healer and he's shown a tremendous tolerance to pain, extremely high pain threshold, I still think he's going to be out for most, if not all, of next season. Very similar, even though it's a different injury, but a similar case to Derrick Rose. I mean, you might see Kobe start, you know, getting back to basketball-related activities like Rose has been, coming back from the ACL, but I understand it's a different injury, ACL and Achilles, but still. In Bryant's case, I think that, you want me to be honest? I think Bryant should honestly retire. I think, you know, I mean, he's not going to be the same player. Excuse me. He's not going to be what he was. He's going to lose some pep in his step coming back from the injury. He's most likely never going to regain 100% full strength. So I think it's time. In my own words, to sum it up, I think Kobe's Achilles announced his retirement for him. Father Time caught up with one great Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest Lakers ever to play. Father Time is undefeated, will always be undefeated on players at an older age. So I think it's time for Bryant to hang it up.
Huh. Well, Kobe Bryant, I feel, isn't going to quite hang it up just yet. I think this is a similar scenario to Derrick Rose and also Mariano Rivera in baseball. I think that Kobe Bryant doesn't want to go down like this. He didn't even want to.
He didn't even want to
concede to reporters that this was his last game on a NBA court. He just didn't want to concede, and you see the way. I mean, Kobe Bryant, let's not forget, recently had an interview a while ago with Yahoo Sports and stated that he would like to play for another year or two. So I think
he actually said in a more recent review that he could possibly play 5 more years, but he wants to play another year or two. But my point is, Julian, can you foresee him regaining the same explosiveness? That's why I'm saying he should retire. I mean, because he's not going to be the same.
I think the answer is no. The obvious answer is no. Like Kurt Rambis described the way Kobe Bryant went down with this torn Achilles. He went down by at first splitting his legs, and then came the back foot, and the rest was history. Kobe Bryant unfortunately tore that Achilles, and it's going to be very tough, like you said, Sean, very tough to regain strength of that Achilles.
And don't forget, one more point for me to add on, that's his push-off leg, his left leg, his leg where he uses to really drive and explode to the rim. He uses that left leg really strongly on his moves. So that's another thing that you take into consideration, why he's, Kobe, when he does come back, you're probably going to see him be more of a jump shooter. I mean, you're not going to see him be able to drive to the hole and throw it down and slam it, dunk it with authority.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to see that no more.
People are saying that Kobe Bryant has come very close to comparisons and the likes of Michael Jordan. I could tell you this much, but Jordan, the way he played back when he returned to play along with the Washington Wizards, I feel that's how Kobe going to be when he decides to return from this severe injury.
But if you look at it in Michael Jordan's case, just to say it real quickly, Jordan, the most serious injury he ever suffered was a broken foot back in like 93, I think it was, in his early years. He suffered like a broken foot and he was out. Actually, I think it was 95. He came back from a after missing like 60 games with a broken foot, he came back and, but so a broken foot isn't a torn Achilles, so it's a different case, but still, I mean, I think you're right. I think Kobe will be like Jordan when Jordan went to the Wizards, jump shooter, you know, and Kobe's going to look to his teammates more. And, another thing to take into consideration, how is this going to affect Dwight Howard?
Let's just talk about the team's future right now, because it looks pretty ugly as it stands. Right now they're in the race between Utah for the 8th seed in the playoffs. I mean, just tell me, Sean, but what's the future stand for the LA Lakers? Of course, Mitch Kupchak now is going to have to do some adjustments in order for Kobe Bryant to continue on being successful. So just tell me, what's the future from here on?
I will start off by answering that question. In the near future, the Lakers will get in. In my opinion, they will make the playoffs. I do believe that with San Antonio struggling down the stretch in the most recent weeks, I think the Lakers will beat San Antonio tonight. And then all they would have to do now, is should they do that, is beat Houston on Wednesday. And, the Jazz, on the other hand, they have a game against Minnesota or a game against Memphis, then a game against Minnesota on Wednesday. So, and that game precedes the Lakers game in Houston. So I think the Lakers will get in, but the thing that's going to hurt the Lakers' future, like until Bryant, if and when he comes back next season, a thing that could hurt him is the Lakers, to my knowledge, according to what I found out, I was made aware that they don't have any draft picks this year.
in the upcoming NBA draft. I mean, that could hurt them. I mean, what if they did have a draft pick? Wouldn't it be something if they could get a guy like Trey Burke, who is going to announce, I believe he announced today that he's declaring for the draft and leaving Michigan. So, I mean...
Let me stop you there. Let me stop you right there, Sean. But the Lakers seriously look like dead meat right now. They look like dead meat right now. I think.
They're going to get beat by the Oklahoma City.
Sean,
there's no doubt about that.
Sean, please let me talk. I think they have some solutions. They have some solutions. One, they got. I believe. They got to trade Pau Gasol. They finally got to trade Pau Gasol for some draft picks. That's the very first thing I think the Lakers need to do. Second of all, I'm not sure. I'm very uncertain of Dwight Howard's future in L.A. It's just very uncertain, as I feel he might go somewhere else. Paycheck might come off the books for the L.A. Lakers. So if Dwight Howard were to leave the Lakers, then I actually think it would be a good plan. A good plan, because the Lakers, they really need to cut some money off their payroll. And thirdly, I'm not sure if Steve Nash is still capable of being that type of leader he was back in Phoenix. I don't think Steve Nash any longer is the Steve Nash of 2006, 2007. I mean, Steve Nash is really old. His team is very old, and this team really needs to revamp themselves completely.
Well, I will just add on a couple of more points to what you were just saying, Julian. I can agree with you that they should trade Gasol for some draft picks, even though I've loved Pau Gasol for his time that he's been with the Lakers. He, you know, he has had some bright playoff moments. But as far as Howard goes, if they amnesty Bryant, just saying, that would free up, the Lakers are supposed to owe Kobe $30 million next year, and that would free them up against the luxury tax and against the cap. So that would free them up. And Dwight Howard, from all I've heard, he likes Los Angeles, and he likes the life out there. And with Bryant out of the picture for a prolonged period now, he gets to experience what it would be like in the post-Kobe era once Kobe retires. He will get to experience what it's like to have his own team. So I think to Howard, the Lakers are the front runner by a wide margin. The next closest team I could foresee possibly signing Dwight Howard, if Howard decides to leave L.A., is the Houston Rockets. I mean, but I think it's in all likelihood Howard will be back with L.A. next year.
I think Dwight Howard needs to do something right now in his life. It's very nice out there in L.A., of course. You're enjoying your life as we're speaking live on the air, but you really got to get yourself out of your blurry head and decide to go elsewhere, because – just face it, Dwight Howard, you're never going to win a championship with the Lakers the way the Lakers look right now moving forward. I think Dwight Howard needs to consider going to maybe a contender like Atlanta. Atlanta, that's where he grew up. Maybe he should consider going over there with his best friend, Josh Smith.
Well, I'll just close by saying this. The Lakers, after this year, because they're going to get swept, most likely they're going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, in the first round, and we all know what the Thunder will do to the Lakers. So that series won't last more than five games. So once the Lakers are eliminated, I think it's time to also make a coaching change. You can't keep D'Antoni.
I think you need to also fire Mitch Kupchak.
No, Julian. What are you crazy? Mitch Kupchak.
This is going to go down as one of the most disappointing seasons ever from any team throughout.
But how is it Kupchak's fault? I'm just saying. How
he made the
D'Antoni's fault.
The Lakers.
Sean,
the whole Lakers
thing. Hire Phil Jackson, for crying out loud. Do the right thing. You got to get Jackson or Shaw in the Los Angeles. Bottom line, end of story.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with this topic. To wrap up here on the LA Lakers, I'm just going to say real quick, I think they are going to make the playoffs. Like I said, during the All-Star break, I believe they will go on to face the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think they will go on to lose by a sweep. And that's all I have to say about the LA Lakers, as I once again say, this season has been one of the most disappointing seasons ever by any team throughout history. Let's get on to, though, the NCAA championship game between Louisville and Michigan. Boy, what a great game. I felt it was a very great game between the two teams. Final score came out to be 82-76. Louisville, great games by Luke Hancock coming off the bench, scoring 22 points. Also, you have Peyton Siva scoring 18 points, dished some assists and rebounds. He had a phenomenal game, although one player to take into account is Russ Smith. He didn't have too good of a game. I think Rick Pitino changed up the game plan. He said, well, Russ Smith, he didn't really do so well against Wichita State, so Russ Smith didn't see as many touches as he only scored 9 points. But Louisville went on to win. Michigan, I picked them to win over Louisville. Trey Burke, National Player of the Year. I think you should just appreciate the season you had and move on to the NBA. I truly think Trey Burke is going to be one nominal point guard in the NBA. So, don't you, Sean, but what did you think of the win Louisville had over Michigan? Plus, what did you think of Kevin Ware cutting down the net?
Oh, that was like a touching moment when they lowered the net for Kevin Ware, a guy who, as we know, suffered that horrible, horrible leg injury. I mean, great to see him be able to cut down the nets. And it is that reason that I think Louisville won the tournament. Because of what happened to Kevin Ware, Louisville, you know, rallied behind their fallen teammate in Ware and went on to win that tournament. In that game against Michigan last Monday, that was, you know, that was one of the best championship games I've seen in quite a few years. I mean, back and forth. I mean, Michigan up by 12 midway at the first half. Then Louisville, Luke Hancock comes off the bench, nails four straight threes. Come on. I mean, single-handedly brings Louisville right back in the game. And in Michigan's case, outside of Trey Burke, I mean, the next best scorer was a reserve point guard. who, as we know, came off the bench, and he was matching Hancock 3-for-3, 3-pointer for 3-pointer, and Spike Albrecht. I mean, he, you know, kudos to him and the effort he put out, but outside of Albrecht and Burke, no Michigan player had more than 12 points. I mean, guys like Kim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson III and Stauskas and Mitch McGarry, who the big...
apparently, Stauskas, Nick Stauskas and Mitch McGarry came off disappointing games. They were consistent throughout the whole entire tournament, but they failed to come up big in this game.
I think Louisville's... I think one guy that really shut down Mitch McGarry and didn't allow Mitch McGarry to get going in this Monday's title game was Gorgui Jang. Gorgui Jang, the Saudi Arabian forward for...
Jang.
I got to give kudos to him for shutting down Mitch McGarry. I mean, McGarry, he had been carrying Michigan along with Burke on that incredible ride. So kudos to Gorgui Jang and Rick Pitino, very deserving of a second title. I mean, but as I just was mentioning, Trey Burke is going to the NBA. So Michigan, can they get back next year? Tough call. I mean, Louisville, Russ Smith has declared for the NBA already. Waiting to see. I'm not sure if Peyton Siva is a senior or a junior.
He's a senior.
Okay, so we're waiting to see what he's going to do. So if Siva comes back, I could foresee Louisville making a repeat run, but Michigan's a different story. You still have to wait and see what Glenn Robinson III and Tim Hardaway Jr. decide to do. I'm hearing that they may declare for the NBA, so got to wait and see what they do. But all in all, great title game. I'm disappointed. I picked Michigan just like you did, so, but I didn't hang my head. I had to be pleased. Going into the tournament, I wouldn't have expected Michigan to get to the NCAA championship game.
Yeah, most definitely, considering the fact that they were the youngest team throughout in the tournament this year.
So kudos to John Beilein. I mean, I hope Beilein and that Spike Albrecht can get back to and have. With Burke leaving, he's most likely going to have to take over the point guard duties or take over Trey Burke's place, should I say. And I'm hoping, I'd like to see Michigan get back to the tournament next year, and I think they can be a contender even without Burke.
Sean, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you there. I don't really foresee Michigan coming back to the national championship game next year.
Well, I'm not saying the championship game. That's a stretch. But I'm saying I can foresee Michigan making a repeat run to the tournament.
Okay. Well, to get on Tim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson III, I think personally they shouldn't go on to the NBA. I think they should stick around for a little bit more over at Michigan. Two sons of NBA players, I think they need to stretch out their time in Michigan.
If they come back, then that'll just increase my belief in Michigan next year. I mean, because even though Trey Burke is giant shoes to fill, but if Trey Burke's the only one that ends up declaring for the NBA and they get guys like Hardaway Jr. and Robinson III back, along with Mitch McGarry,
and Stauskas comes back, Michigan will be returning almost the same team, minus Burke. Like I said, Burke's trying shoes to fill, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think Michigan is a contender, as I'll put them. They're a contender.
Yeah. Speaking of Louisville, though, Rick Pitino, I got to ask you, Sean, but Rick Pitino, now a Hall of Famer, has won the national championship at two different schools. Do you think he's going to come back? Do you think he still has more to prove?
Why not? I mean, after, as I'll say, I didn't believe Louisville was deserving of the number one overall seed going into the tournament, but they made a believer out of me the way they ran the table in the tournament. And, you know, kudos out to Rick Pitino, and I think he should come back. Why not? Go after a repeat. I mean, Louisville, you know, Russ Smith, if he's the only one to go, and Siva comes back, and
Siva's a senior.
Oh, so Siva is gone. Well, then that's I could foresee Louisville and Michigan both getting back to the tournament next year, but, you know, they're both contenders next year to make deep tournament runs, as I'll say. But wait and see. But in Rick Pitino's case, if you were asking me, I think he should come back.
Well, I'm not too sure about that. I think Rick Pitino has done enough, honestly, and I don't foresee the team we saw this year coming back. I think Russ Smith is going to enter the NBA draft, as he announced just earlier this week. His intent was declaring for the NBA draft, so I don't foresee him coming back, nor do I see Gorgui Jang coming back. By the way, I did want to mention earlier before, but Jang had a great game, as you mentioned, Sean. He had three blocks, and he stopped Mitch McGarry, as Mitch McGarry had 6 points, but Gorgui Jang, he went 4 for 6 from the field, had eight rebounds. That wasn't the only player, though, who I was really impressed, Shane Bohannon. He had 11 rebounds in the second half and 15 points throughout the whole entire game. I felt Shane Bohannon was a key contributor during the game. But, all right, well, Sean, is there any last words before we move on?
No, I think we touched on every nail on the head with the national championship. I'll just say one last congratulations to Rick Pitino. I mean, phenomenal job with the team he had. And, you know, if this is it for Rick Pitino, if he decides not to come back, what a way to close out a Hall of Fame career.
Most definitely. The number to the show is 646-716-5733 if you want to talk with your hosts, Julian Bravo and Sean Elmer. So we move forward. Actually, we are still on college basketball. Some college players who announced that they would be declaring for the NBA draft were Cody Zeller, Trey Burke, Russ Smith, Michael Carter-Williams, and surprisingly, Victor Oladipo. I mean, who would have imagined Victor Oladipo to increase his draft stock and go on to declare for the NBA draft? I mean, he had an amazing season, as he's going to be now taking his talents into the next level. But as I just mentioned, those players, and another Hoosier, Cody Zeller. I was very surprised, actually. his other brothers went through all 4 years in college, and as it turns out now, Cody Zeller is going to be entering the NBA draft after only his sophomore year. I thought he would have came back, but I think due to the fact that Victor Oladipo wasn't coming back, he figured since he's been ranked in the top 10 all these years, he should have just thought I might as well declare for the NBA draft. But Michael Carter Williams, another point guard besides Trey Burke, who did phenomenal throughout the tournament. He's going to be declaring for the NBA draft. So since I got that out of the way, I want to go to you, Sean. But what do you think of these players deciding to enter the NBA draft?
The guys who I think, you know, if I had to name my top two guys who I think out of the people who have declared that you were just mentioning, Julian, I think it would have to be either Oladipo or Burke. I mean, both guys had outstanding seasons, and I think, you know who Trey Burke reminds me of a little bit, if I had to say, name a guy who's been in the NBA. Well, he's not in the NBA right now, but if you had to ask me, I think Trey Burke reminds me a lot of a younger version of Allen Iverson. I mean, Trey Burke, he can really ball with the best of them, and, you know, he had some phenomenal moments, and I think he's going to be outstanding in the NBA, and in Oladipo's case, he's just as much of a young stud as Burke is. I mean, it's a shame Indiana couldn't get further in the tournament, but Oladipo, he'll do just fine in the NBA, and I like Cody Zeller, too. He's, you know, he's got some talent, so and Michael Carter Williams, too, I'll say in his case, he carried Syracuse a little bit, was a key contributor to that Syracuse team. And a guy I think, just to throw his name out there, that I think should enter the NBA draft from Syracuse, I think Brandon Trish would make a decent draft pick. I mean, Trish, he's got a lot of potential to be an NBA stud as well.
Yeah, definitely. We're running out of time, so unfortunately we can't talk too much about these phenomenal players, but the least I can tell our listeners, we're going to have an NBA draft special, of course, so tune in for that very soon, as the NBA draft is coming up in June. We're only like 2 months away. You can't believe it. So, by the way, we are now in overtime. If you would like to listen in on the show, you can dial 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. Now, we're going to get on to Jose Reyes. He recently suffered a devastating injury. It was a severe sprained ankle, which is going to cost him 3 months. The Blue Jays, they've been on to up and down start, in my opinion, but Jose Reyes, of course, is going to be a major loss for a while, they're saying, up until the All-Star break. So So, Sean, going to you, but how much of an impact will it be without Jose Reyes, who was just traded from the Miami Marlins?
Yeah, for the Blue Jays, that's a huge loss. I mean, you look at Reyes, what he brings to a team, base stealers, speed on the base paths. I mean, great young shortstop. I mean, he, you know, that was outside of Kobe Bryant's injury. That was another devastating injury to see him in tears, pretty much almost in tears by second base. So when he, it looked like he almost broke his foot. I thought he had broke his foot when he slid into second base. I mean, gruesome injury. So I just hope he gets back soon. I hope it's not 3 months. I hope it's the shorter end in his case. I hope he's only out for a month. And, I mean, because the Blue Jays, when he's fully healthy, I mean, he just makes that Blue Jays team much better and makes them that much more of a contender in the AL East.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Jose Reyes, he's always been considered one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball. I believe was treated unfair when Jeffrey Loria traded him to the Toronto Blue Jays. I totally felt Jose Reyes wanted to perhaps stay in Miami, but he is now with Toronto. Toronto just trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. They're trying to pull themselves together in the AL East, as that's supposed to be a very tough division this year. So, yeah, but this comes as an unfortunate loss, as I stated before. But Jose Reyes will be out for 3 months and most likely till the All-Star break. Eddie Jordan just today was announced the new head coach of the men's Rutgers basketball team. And Eddie Jordan, he's had a history of coaching multiple teams in the NBA. He was currently the assistant coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and he now replaces Mike Rice, which leads me to ask you, Sean, but how much of a role Eddie Jordan stepping into means? He's taking over a program that faced severe damage. So just tell me, what's this kind of role Eddie Jordan stepping into going to mean?
I gotta say, it's for me, it's somewhat of a surprise choice. But I like the hire in a way. I mean, yeah, Eddie Jordan. Excuse me, he's bounced around quite a bit in the NBA, but, I mean, I think he could bring some good things to Rutgers. Let's put it this way, he won't be doing anything like what Mike Rice did, so I think he'll be a decent head coach, and I like the hire by Rutgers.
Yeah, I do too. I thought Hurley's brother, a former player from Duke, was going to actually become the next head coach of Rutgers. But as it turned out, Eddie Jordan will now be the head coach of Rutgers. I feel it might be a tough role to fill, but after a while, though, I think Eddie Jordan will get used to things and hopefully work Rutgers back to a good pace. in college basketball.
And just to throw in another quick point, don't forget, this is Eddie Jordan's first ever job as a college basketball coach. So he's in essence stepping down a level, but I wish him all the best. I mean,
maybe he'll succeed at the college level. He's had his struggles over the years in the NBA, but I think he might succeed at the college level. Who knows?
I have to agree.
Yeah, it's going to be his first time, like you said, Sean, so we'll just have to wait and see. He might succeed. Getting on to Matt Harvey, the pitcher of the New York Mets. Matt Harvey has done very phenomenal. The 24-year-old who was drafted two, three years ago in the Major League Baseball draft. He was selected 8th overall by the New York Mets. He's gone into this season very strong, as he's putting up 0.82 ERA and has won all three of his games so far. Hasn't lost one game for the New York Mets. He's done quite phenomenal, as the New York Mets are without Johan Santana and let go a while back former pitcher Chris Young. So the New York Mets, they've had an ordeal as of late, but the way Matt Harvey is coming together is just totally bringing some satisfaction to the New York Mets organization, which leads me to ask you, Sean, but how good can Matt Harvey be for the future of the New York Mets? He's doing really good. He's drawn comparisons to Justin Verlander.
Well, he's real young, but I think he has potential. I mean, going forward, I think he could be maybe someday work his way up to a Justin Verlander type level. I mean, but I'm just going to keep an eye on him. But wouldn't it be something if he's right up there in the rookie of the year discussions at the end of the season?
Well, actually, he played a while last season with the New York Mets. He ended the 2012 MLB season.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure. Really don't know too much about him, but I know he hasn't lost a start yet. So I think he has a bright future ahead with the Mets, definitely, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has just been really good. Really good, as it's shown. The last game he played was against the Minnesota Twins, in which he won with 8 innings pitched by a score of 4-2. He also went up against the Philadelphia Phillies. In Philadelphia, of course, it's going to be a difficult battle when you enter Philadelphia. So he picked up the win there, and they also faced San Diego and did phenomenal as well. He's doing really good, as right now he's posting a 0.82 ERA and hasn't lost a game. So good for him, and he has a bright future, as you said, Sean. So our final topic of today is Rolando McClain, former player who used to play with the Oakland Raiders, and also back in college, the Alabama Crimson Tide. This guy was considered a big deal back in the 2010 NFL draft. Yeah, he didn't do so much back with Oakland, which led him to the market. Baltimore picked up the services of McLean as now he'll be filling in the role. He'll be filling in the role of legend Ray Lewis. So final question of today, Sean, but what do you think of Rolando McLean replacing Ray Lewis at middle linebacker? It's of course going to be tough role to fill considering how he's replacing a linebacker and a guy like Ray Lewis. So, I mean, just tell me how Rolando McLean is going to have to really step up with his time in Baltimore.
Oh, he's going to have to step up, and I think he will step up going forward. I mean, I think he's a great fit to replace Ray Lewis, and I, I wish him all the best. I mean, he's got giant shoes to fill, but I think he can do it.
Yeah, same as well. He's capable of doing it in Baltimore when he's going to be playing in the same defense as he did back when he was with Alabama. He didn't play in his ideal defensive scheme when he was back with Oakland. He's now going to be playing in a system where he'll feel comfortable and hopefully will do well. Hopefully will do well, as this guy was considered a huge deal back in the 2010 NFL draft. He was picked in the first round by the Oakland Raiders, so high expectations are on Rolando McLean. Signed a one-year deal with Baltimore, so has a lot to prove in that 1 year. Well, that about wraps up today for Sports Kingdom. I want to thank our listeners for joining. This has been Julian Bravo and Sean Elmer. Tune in next week when we actually, on Saturday, are going to have the NFL Draft Special along with Justin Fink and possibly Maxwell Ogden. Not too sure about Max, but we're going to have the NFL Draft Special come time Saturday. And aside from that, you could re-listen to the show on Stitcher and iTunes. Once again, thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Peace out, guys.